You're listening to your terrible podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tableau podcast. Welcome back to the Tableau podcast. Are you following us right now on Twitter and IG? Well, you should be. And also, you should be subscribing to our Apple Podcasts and our Spotify so that you don't miss a single episode. I hope you love all of the content you've been getting. If you loved it, go and rate us. Give us 5 stars, please. Okay, so my manager, Eddie's here again. Hey.
What's going on, bro?
I am working on new music.
Finally.
Yes, I am like fully in... I don't want to say album mode because the minute I say it, I sound like Drake and like all our fans are going to be like, oh, when's it dropping? So I don't want to say I'm in that mode yet, but I'm in the process of writing like a lot of songs. People are wondering if I'm going to be able to release a new thing this year. And I don't know if I told you, but I don't think so. I'm not sure I'm going to release something new this year. I already had like 2 releases this year, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had that Lee Sora Suga song that I produced. And then I had our album. So that's already 2 big projects that I did this right. year. And thank you everyone for loving those songs.
I mean, that album is still fantastic.
I still hear it all over the place. Thank you so much.
Remember I sent you this morning one of those tour recaps?
Yeah.
I think it was of Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Brings back great memories.
Yeah.
It feels like, what was that, like 6 months ago? But it feels like yesterday.
But I do feel like I'll have new music possibly multiple times next year.
Let's go.
Judging by how many songs are coming out great right now. So keep your fingers crossed. And today, you know, I actually… Have you seen this thing? Like, so Elon Musk is trying to get us to Mars? Like, to colonize Mars. Really? The SpaceX thing. Okay, that's the purpose of SpaceX? Okay. So dude's doing Tesla. Also taking us to Mars and building a tunnel under LA. Right?
Right.
The drilling.
Is that happening right now?
Well, see, I don't know what's going to happen fast. Okay, that whole thing… It's supposed to be about traffic, right? Because LA's got a huge traffic problem.
There is a train being built right now.
By
the city.
Is it above ground?
It's below ground.
Okay, so it's a subway.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's different from what…
You made it sound like it's this huge, like, new, like, technological advancement.
But there isn't a subway yet. So
okay, so LA's gonna get a subway.
But this is different from Elon Musk's, I believe.
Okay, well, Elon Musk's drilling thing is so like you take your car down like into the ground and then you there are like basically highways underground,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is supposed to, you know, soothe the traffic problem. It's supposed to eliminate the traffic problem, right?
Right.
But also like… I hear that like Uber and Lyft are doing like those flying taxis. You've heard about that, right? They're like helicopters, but they look more like, you know, like just flying capsules, basically. It's like these weird drone, like humongous giant drone looking guys that are basically helicopters, but not helicopters.
How are they picking us up? Do you hop in or are they picking you up like
there
a claw?
There are stations. There's like a station.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there, you get in this helicopter thing. And it's like a helicopter. So it's a tiny drone-like helicopter. And it flies to a designated station. And it's like no one has to actually pilot this thing. It's autopilot.
Right.
And I think before this whole tunnel thing even happens, that might be implemented first.
Sounds like trouble.
It actually, as soon as I saw like the mock-ups for it, I was like, dude, I can just see the amount of like accidents we're going to be hearing about, right? You lift anything off the ground, you know, it's dangerous. And also you're like trusting AI to do this, right? which is, you know, how can we trust it all?
My phone's pretty smart, but it still freezes.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, my phone's not smart.
I'm not hopping in no vessel getting picked up by a, like a roller coaster tycoon claw and being transported to, you know, A and B. I think I can take the extra 15 minutes on the highway, my dude.
So, but what if from where you live, let's say you have to go to the airport, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take?
About 30 minutes.
Okay, let's say this this thing, like this tunnel thing or this drone helicopter thing
right.
could take you there in like 10.
Okay.
Would you take it?
No.
5.
Now we're talking.
Would you take it? 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes and there's a guaranteed safety. Kind of like, well, it's as safe as an airplane.
Yeah, safe as an airplane, which is, well, yeah, you know, and then of course, not a guarantee.
But I mean, 99.99% chance you're going to be good, right?
Mm.
So, for those reasons, with no safety risk at all, I'm in.
Okay. Well, that's what it's proposing. And this SpaceX thing, I guess, so the Mars thing is in case of a of like an apocalypse situation?
Like,
right? Like, why else would we have to colonize Mars?
Because of the climate change and the cooling use of Earth. So we have to look into going to a different...
So it's the end of the world situation, right? Okay, so this is for when the Earth is no longer
habitable.
Yeah, habitable. Like, so it's an apocalypse situation that Elon Musk is preparing us for.
And I appreciate that. But I'm not going to Mars.
Yeah, I totally appreciate it. But if this happens in our lifetime, I'm not sure that I'm going to go to Mars.
Right. I'm like the captain of the Titanic ship. I'm going down with the ship. You know what I'm saying? AKA planet Earth.
I'm on that ship. I'm going to be the guy that plays the violin. Mithra is going to be playing the cello. Okay?
You can play the cello?
No. But we'll, you know, in the film, like,
yeah.
They play it to the end.
Yeah.
The sad music.
And he's like, gentlemen, it's been fun playing with you.
Yes. Fun. It's been an honor playing with you.
Oh, yeah. Honor. Yeah.
And fun. I didn't mention Two Cuts.
Right. You don't need any turntables.
Because you know where Two Cuts is going to be, right?
On Mars.
No. Two Cuts is going to be the guy with the pistol, like telling the ladies and the children to get off the lifeboat so he can get on and leave.
Billy Zane?
Yeah, he's gonna be Billy Zane. You don't get mad Billy Zane vibes from Two Cuts? I look at Two Cuts, I get mad Billy Zane vibes.
Yeah, I do get those vibes.
Yeah, Two Cuts will be gone.
Sip it, Billy Zane.
Yeah, Two Cuts will be gone by the time like there's any like rumbling in the engine. Okay? He's gone.
That's why, you know, we're on the same page. That's why I said he'd be on Mars.
He would be on Mars.
He'd be on Mars.
Dude, I have a hard time like wrapping my mind around like living anywhere outside of like Seoul, right? Because of the commute. So it's going to be impossible for me to like even fathom living in Mars. I mean, that's a hell of a commute.
It's a dust issue for me.
Yeah. But you know, Seoul's got a pretty bad, like right. Korea's got a bad, like an unfortunate dust issue.
Right.
So it's not something we're not used to, but Mars is pretty far, okay? And we're closer to the sun, right? Mars is closer to the sun.
Right.
Which is, it's going to be pretty hot. You know, I just don't see like, I just don't see what they're going to do with this place.
Right.
Getting there is one part of the problem. It's only
it's
one
like,
part of the problem.
Like, sick, bro. You got to Mars. Now what?
Yeah, what's going to be there though?
Yeah.
Okay? It's going to be a dome? They're going to build a dome? Okay.
This is one step away from…
I'm not sure I want to live under a dome.
All that recycled air condition, it's like living in a plane, dude. Like, it'd be my like, skin would explode, dude.
It would be like the Jim Carrey movie. You know?
Liar, liar.
No. Liar, liar. The Jim Carrey movie. The Jim Carrey movie. Bruce Almighty.
Dude,
no,
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. The one where he's like in a fake set. He's living in a fake set. Fake reality.
Yeah, yeah. Truman Show.
I kept wanting to say Ace Ventura. I was like, but that's
dude, I was thinking, I was thinking Pet Detective too. As I was saying it, I was like, Pet Detective? No.
It's because you said it's the show.
The Truman Show.
Yeah, Truman Show, okay.
So it's going to be like the Truman Show where like, I don't want to live in any place where like at the end of the line, I run into a wall, you know? I want to know that there's infinite space out there. And even if there is one behind a screen, I don't want to be like running into that, you know, Truman Show wall.
I don't think you'll deal with that problem like on Mars though. Oh, you're talking about in the Colosseum, right?
Yeah, inside the dome.
Yeah, there's only so much you could do. I think at that point, like the only sport that will be available is definitely gaming, right? I think real estate is going to be very hard to come by. Everyone's going to have their own little nap pods. I imagine it'll be very similar to like the Matrix
revolution. Or Ready Player One.
Yeah, everyone's just the like, yeah, movie, yeah, right. These little like bunks.
So it's going to be like, we're going to be living inside VR is what you're saying?
I think so.
Because we're on Mars?
I just, from a space, like literally a space perspective, there's just, how big is this Colosseum? How many people are we trying to fit in there?
Are we calling it the Colosseum now?
Colosseum.
Yeah. Okay, but you know, you obviously know something about this.
You know stuff that we
You got
know.
Like a direct line to Elon.
Yeah.
Okay? So what did he say? What's going on?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it costs like some crazy amount of money.
Eric's fans bought myself, Eric, and Brian like those tickets to Mars.
You guys got tickets to Mars?
Like one of Eric's fans, I saw it. They like purchased these tickets and like sent us confirmation numbers. I'm like, what is this? I appreciate it.
Wait.
And okay. I was like in the shower thinking, like, what if one of these days this little joke of a purchase is going to save my life?
That's great of the fans. Like, you know, to this, until you said that, like, I didn't want to go to Mars. But now that there are tickets for specifically just for you, Eric, and Brian, I'm kind of pissed. Like, what about me, dude? You guys are just going to leave me here and go to Mars?
No.
And, I mean, you said Eric's fans gave it to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so… So, just Eric and his blood brothers.
Right.
That's enough? What about me?
What about Tablo?
I know you guys know who I am, right? You guys know that I'm like a bro to these guys. What? Where's my Mars ticket? Yeah. Why not me?
That's what I'm saying.
Like the three of them, what are they going to do on Mars without me? They need me there. You want me there.
It's true.
We have a contract.
Of a contract.
I'm going to Mars. Get me a ticket, please.
I saw those tickets. I thought it was like really funny. I thought it was pretty cute. And then I was like, hey, but what about Rocky? Hey, what about, you know, my family? And then it's just like this slippery slope of like, who are the most important people to me? And I'm like, I need to bring Tablo. He's my cash cow. He's the reason why I'm living in this mansion.
So I am. Did you just really say that I am your cash cow? Oh my God.
Dude, that
Freudian slip right there.
That tweet you put out?
Yeah, that was real. You texted me that shit.
I know.
But you're like, I really care about the money. I mean, your career.
Yeah.
What?
We're going to have a very…
That was the first thing I saw in the morning when I woke up. So I was like, what? Anyways, like, it's going to be that 2012 situation. That movie, 2012.
With Dwayne?
No.
Dwayne Johnson?
No. Dwayne Johnson. That's the only movie Dwayne Johnson's not in, actually.
Interesting.
With John Cusack.
Yeah. Yep.
Is it 2012? It's like about the end of the world and they're like trying to get on this boat.
Right.
And like basically Noah's Arks. And there's one in China that they want to get on. But like only the rich have tickets to be on it. And it was like crazy expensive or something. So he has to like get his, like save his family by somehow getting them on the boat. Stuff like this, right? And that's for real. Like, I'm glad the fans got you those tickets because I'm sure, I hope that it wasn't a scam because back in the day, my fans got me like real estate on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I own a part of the moon.
Can you build on there?
No, it was a scam.
Oh, it was.
My fans got scammed. And I hope that no fans get scammed in this situation. So, like, Yeah, don't look into it before you get your faves a gift. Okay, don't ever get scammed. But what I'm trying to say is, at that point when this apocalypse thing happens, I am pretty sure that the tickets to get on there is going to be very, very expensive, to the point where like most of us, they're going to leave most of us, and the elite will get to go. $200K for a ticket. All right, so our producer Diane just sent us some more information about this Mars situation. Okay, so there's a picture. Have you seen the SpaceX's Starship as envisioned for a Mars settlement? Okay, spaceship looks pretty cool. It's got like some mad Roswell vibes. Okay, like 1950s, right, like retro tech kind of vibe. And then there's this dome, which is pretty tiny.
Pretty tiny. Probably fits about 50 people.
Dude, it looks like you could have the Super Bowl in there. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. Not impressed with those projections. Hey, Elon. Not impressed, bro.
Elon. Too small. Think bigger.
2050.
Dude, that's like very close by. That's like by the time like Black Panther 5 comes out. Okay? It's not that far away.
Yeah, it's really not.
That's pretty early. It's $200,000 for a ticket. I'm pretty sure that those aren't the tickets that Eric's fans got you.
Wait, it's already pre-ordering right now?
Well, apparently it's $200,000. That's what it says here.
That's it. Just kidding.
Oh, Elon answered himself. He's like, the total cost of having a self-sustaining civilization on Mars will cost about $100 billion. He wrote, between $100 billion and $10 trillion. Okay.
Yeah. It's like,
so he's like,
it's between $1 and $2.
Like, how much is a soul? It's either $1 or $1 trillion.
That's how I build P&Ls.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you know what? You're either going to make $100 or $5 million.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly my projection for next year.
Right.
I'm either going to make $0 or $1 billion.
So.
Well, anyways, and he's saying, so cargo to Mars for a self-sustaining city, how are you going to get all this done? And he's like, it's going to cost about $100K per ton. Cost would be $100 billion. Okay, well, is Mars our only option right now, guys? If Earth goes to hell, do we have any other option other than Mars?
Can we not live on boats?
What are you talking about?
Dude,
you do realize that if a meteor hits Earth…
No. This isn't because a meteor is coming. I thought it was because it was like… climate change would be so intense that like…
You really think that just being on the ocean is gonna… you're gonna be okay from the sun?
Yeah.
Really?
I think you'll be okay. 2012, dude, didn't you put everybody into like giant submarines and these huge ships? You can still build fires and cook things in there.
But that was a meteor situation, right?
It was a meteor, was it?
I think it was like a meteor and flooding situation.
Okay.
Like tsunamis.
Okay.
Okay. But you're proposing that we could just all live on boats?
Water world, bro.
Or we could live in bunkers.
Dude, yeah, I was thinking about bunkers.
Yeah, I saw this thing like the US has a bunch of these bunkers that are like built like basically like hotels underground. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're humongous. And you could survive there for at least like 10 years or something like that, right? So someone has already built these things, possibly the government, right? And
I can withstand like nuclear missiles and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of like these apocalypse situation movies, right? And the part about those movies that interests me most is not the actual like meteors flying down, like, you know, like aliens arriving. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in what people do to each other.
Right.
Okay. Even with zombie movies, like Train to Busan.
Right.
I love that film because it shows you what people would actually do to each other, and that people are actually sometimes more monstrous. right?
Right.
And we will be divided. We will become divided. We will pick and choose who gets to live and who doesn't get to live. We'll, you know, backstab each other.
But what other solution is there?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when that apocalypse situation comes, I'm more afraid of what people are going to do to each other, you know, to get their spot, to claim their entitlement to survival. Like,
survival of the fittest, baby.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what's going to happen. Right. And that's a frightening thing, though.
It's frightening.
Yeah. It's frightening. Because, like, what do you do? Like, let's just say with Epic Hive, right? Let's say only, like, one of us can survive.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of us can get on this boat you're proposing.
Right.
Okay? And you have one ticket left. Okay? Mm-hmm. You already got your dog, your wife, your, like, you know, Eric Nam, and all these people on there, right?
Right.
And you have one ticket left, right? Would you give it? But you are going to give it to one person in Epic High. Who would you give it to? And what would you base this decision on?
I would base it off of bodies.
What do you mean? Like body mass?
Oh, you mean just I have to give to one person, right?
Out of the three of us.
Out of the three.
And what's the criteria here? Like, what
am I still managing at this time?
Yeah, you are managing us, but you're managing all of us. So, like,
right?
Who would you choose, though? You only get to take one person. Who would you choose, Eddie? Who would you think really hard?
Thinking ahead.
Eddie, who would you choose?
Thinking ahead.
Yeah.
If it becomes like this very malicious, just doggy dog world, I'm going to need the biggest body I can find. And for that reason, I'll take Mithra. Dude could just, if he really put his mind to it, I know he's a big teddy bear. If he's in my crew, I mean, he could cut down lumber.
That is true.
He's a man of a man.
Yeah, and if ever the situation comes, just more meat to go around.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to keep it real.
If you gave me the ticket though, you know what I would do? I would be like, no, it's all good, fam. I'm going to stay here with all the other fallen. And I'll take that ticket. And I'll look at Mithra and Tukas and I'll be like, you know, thank you for all those good times. And I will cut the ticket in two and pass it on to them. And then we would all be fucked.
Right. I thought that was going to take a darker turn, like in the Dark Knight. When he's like, holding auditions.
Auditions.
And he breaks the pool stick in half.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I step over their fallen bodies onto the boat. I hope that situation never comes. Do you guys believe in like that whole apocalypse thing, that Bible apocalypse thing where like the forces of good and evil? Okay.
It's hard not to believe that.
What do you
everything
think?
Everything has an end.
What do you think will off the earth?
Off the earth, I don't think it's going to be zombies, right? And I've already played a lot of different scenarios and I'm well equipped to survive that and actually probably run my own civilization.
Dude, I'm pretty sure if zombies come, like it's going to become like this thing where like I lead mankind because I'm so prepped.
I don't think it's going to be like a chemical warfare type of situation. I think it will be something as freaky as like an asteroid coming or like an earthquake that just… like literally cracks like an entire continent in half. You know what I mean?
That's horrible. That's horrid. I hope none of these things ever happen.
Right.
Oh God.
Dude, it's hard not to think about. I live in LA. These earthquakes happen pretty
all
often.
All the time, yeah.
And you know, one of my biggest fears is once, you know, electricity technology stops working, for, you know, cell towers get hit down, being disconnected with your loved ones. How do you find like, so… we have like, you have to actually be prepared for this. Like water, right? Cans of chili, Lunchables. Just like little things that won't perish. Quiznos.
Lobster.
Ramen.
Lobster.
Lobster. Lobster's perishable though. But I'm in the process of pickling them.
You need ramen. You need ramen. Dude, you need ramen. Honey.
Dude, ramen has no nutritional value.
You have to have honey. Honey never spoils. So get honey. Get a lot of honey. Okay?
But why do you need honey?
Okay, first, it tastes good. Okay.
There's like literally no reason to have honey.
What?
Why do you need honey?
What do you mean?
I don't think you'll need somebody to coat your throat because you won't be performing, bro. You'll be surviving, dude. Dude, why honey?
You're telling me just because it's an apocalypse situation, you're just going to be eating chili? Okay, you're not going to crave sugar at all?
I don't crave sugar.
No, but what if you have a child? Okay, what if you have a kid?
They won't know what sugar is. If they're being born in a bunker, they won't know the taste of Coca-Cola.
Well, that's why the children that are going to be under my purview are going to be born in a bunker with honey.
You're spoiling them. They shouldn't have
honey. Well, the irony of that is that honey never spoils. Okay? So honey can last forever, basically. And, you know, when you need a little bit of that sugar rush, okay? Just get a little bit of honey. Honey is really good for you when you're sick. Okay? You're not going to have sore throats. That's what I don't like about these apocalypse situations. It thinks that it nullifies all human conditions, right? And that we are all simply united to survive. Okay, well, survival also involves…
Sure, that's step one.
Involves that people… That is step one, I agree. But people are still going to get colds. They're still going to get sore throats. You really think just because there is some asteroid coming, okay? Like… A kid is not going to have like an allergic reaction or just a simple common cold. And then he's going to be like coughing like crazy. And the dad's just going to look at him and be like, it's the end of the world.
Wake up.
Wake up. Your cold does not matter. Okay. I don't think so. I think honestly, even if an asteroid was coming and we only have 2 months left, if my daughter gets a cold, I'm going to tend to the cold. And that's when I need the honey.
Dude, I understand, bro. But I think you're not even thinking this through from 10% to 100%, right? Let me fill in these cracks for you, okay? Dude.
I will.
Just because honey.
I will totally. Okay, I'm writing stuff down.
Sure.
I will fuck
rebuttal,
you up.
Rebuttal.
Okay.
Rebuttal me, okay? You say honey is a precious commodity. It doesn't spoil. Kids will have… you know, a taste, a sweet tooth still. Okay, great, valid.
Honey is basically liquid gold you can consume.
I agree. I'm not arguing that honey is not delicious. I pour it over my oatmeal every day with the blueberries. Otherwise, oatmeal is really not tasty at all.
Oh,
I need that
honey. Here's the man that said he doesn't need anything like sugar.
Right.
Why do you need that flavoring though?
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Here's what I gotta say. Real estate, space, in a 20 by 20 bunker that I've built.
Okay, so we're in a bunker.
Bare hands.
Okay, we agree we're in a bunker.
Yes, you're in a bunker. This is, by the way, this is for my family. So maybe I'll have like maybe 3 kids by that time.
And you have no sugar and no honey in here.
No, I never said sugar. We can have some sugar, maybe like a little jar, but only if the kids are behaving right, doing their chores and making sure operations are going smoothly. Like, might get a little sprinkle of sugar on their food every now and then, right? But what I'm saying is, if space is such a commodity and such a necessity, right? It's like, am I going to have a jar of honey, dude, over like a pack of them or just a… Okay, say I've got…
Because sugar doesn't occupy space.
Let's say I've got 500 ounces worth of space.
Okay.
Right? Instead of honey, how about I fill that baby up with emergency powder, dude? That's like…
Okay.
Vitamin C, every vitamin you could think of.
Did I ever say that in my bunker, we're just gonna have honey? Is that what I said? Because that would be insane.
Sounds a bit foolish.
Am I Winnie the Pooh? Am I? Do you see ears on me? Like teddy bear ears on me? Am I Winnie the Pooh? Am I pantless right now? Okay. Am I nude waist down? No, I'm not. Okay. Because that would be a crime.
Right.
And I'm not Winnie the Pooh.
So I'm thinking… Again, not steps 1 through 3. I'm thinking 4 through 10. And if I'm going to have to be that lady who organizes on Netflix, right? And I literally need space to do activities. Like we're going to still like have recreational things to do in this bunker, right? And I have all of the hooks. I have things hanging off the walls. I'm not going to leave space for honey, bro.
Okay, I do agree with you that like in this situation right before we get to the bunker.
Right.
Okay, like asteroid is coming or something. A meteor is coming.
Right.
And like we have to grab stuff out of the house and and we're grabbing stuff and my wife is like, grab that bag in the closet, and I grab it and right. And then I'm like, wait, honey, I gotta get some honey. And I know what my wife is gonna say.
Right.
She's gonna be like, what are you talking about? Get over here. And I'm like, no, I have to get the honey. And she's like, I'm leaving you here. Like, why do you need honey? Why the fuck do you need honey right now?
You're Anne Hathaway in Interstellar trying to get that little memory box.
Dude, but I want to bring the honey. Okay, it doesn't even have to be a big jar. I really feel like someone's going to go get a sore throat.
Dude.
Inside.
Emergency, my dude.
Okay, a sore throat is not an emergency? Is that what you're saying?
No, emergency, the powder, the vitamin C powder that you put into water. And it just like turns into like orange juice. And it's just.
But that goes bad.
No, it doesn't. Does it?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think so, dude.
It goes bad. Okay? And there's other like practical. Honey serves other purposes too.
Dayquil, NyQuil, you get all those like little remedies. We'll have a little like a little snack pack drawer of meds.
So you're not gonna have something to drink when you're in this bunker. You're not gonna ever make yourself an old fashioned. Okay, you're not gonna have whiskey in there.
No,
you're really not gonna have.
I'll have some whiskey.
Okay, you really don't need honey. You really don't need honey? Then give me your honey.
I'll give you honey. Okay? Yeah, whatever.
I'll go to your house. I'll take all the honey.
What? Yeah,
I don't know. I want honey in my bunker. And I feel like my bunker is going to be way more popular than yours.
That's fine.
Because we have honey.
I'm in pure survival mode. I'm not looking at, luxuries at this point.
I mean,
we're going to be wearing… Like, we're all going to be wearing freaking, you know… I don't know, like the same exact thing, kind of like the way I do every day.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll tell you one thing. 15 years later, we come out of these bunkers, okay? We learn that in those 15 years, Earth has been repopulated, like above ground, by…
Lobsters.
By aliens. Oh. Lobster-looking aliens or something, okay? And these aliens want us to offer up some kind of… gift to them, okay, that like will, you know, allow them to like not kill us, okay? What are you gonna give them? You're gonna give them emergency packets, huh? You're gonna give them oatmeal? You're gonna give them chili while I got the honey? They're gonna be like, this dude has liquid gold.
Fair enough.
And it even tastes good.
Fair enough.
And I will lead mankind back to its rightful place. With a bowl of honey in my hand.
You know, it is… I was thinking about The Road. Remember that book?
Yes. The book was much better than the film.
Right. Remember in the book… He like gives his kid like a Coca-Cola. And the kid I think was born in the apocalyptic time. So he's never had it before. I'm like, bro, why are you giving your kid something so delicious? Why are you teaching him… You know, why are you giving him a carbonated drink? Like… He doesn't need that. He doesn't know what he needs. He doesn't know what that tastes like. He doesn't know when that touches his lips that's like one of the greatest flavors on earth, right? But why are you doing that? Why are you showing him that?
I've got a Coca-Cola story though. Break hearts. Broke my heart. Should I tell it?
Yeah. Dude, you can do whatever
you want. Okay, so when I was in high school, for like a very long summer, I was actually in Mexico. I was sent over to Mexico, okay? And it was this weird camp of like at least 200 to 300 kids, okay, that flew in from various different cities. I know what you're getting at. Like, I know what those eyes mean right now, Diane. I know you think that this is like probably a cult. It was not. It wasn't a cult. It was a thing where like, I guess parents that were like super Christian were worried that their kids were kind of delinquent.
And you were a delinquent.
Well, so I was sent there. This was, I think, between my freshman year in high school and right before my sophomore year. Okay, so I get over there, and it was a very rural area in Mexico, very very poverty stricken area, and we were to live with families in their homes and help with like building stuff and just with field work. And this is no joke. And I was living with this family. They didn't have a roof. Like they had a like a very thin blanket over their house.
Like a tarp?
Yeah, like but it wasn't really even a tarp. Like you could see through it.
It was like cotton.
It was just really thin. And that was the roof. Okay. And it was really not that great. It was not that great of a situation. And a friend of mine and I were assigned to that house. So we were in this thing that was basically a bunk bed, but not really. The friend that was sleeping underneath, he got stung by a scorpion once. Mm. Okay. While he was sleeping. So just things like that, right?
Like millipedes everywhere. Yeah.
But so after like the 2 weeks we were there in that house, we had to move to another place. And as on the last day, that the kid in that family brought me a Coca-Cola. And up to that point, we had been eating nothing but beans and just, you know, that's basically all we were eating. We would occasionally get like a jalapeno. Okay. And that's all they could afford. But they got me a Coca-Cola. And I was like, what? Why did you give me a Coca-Cola? I'm totally okay with this. But someone told me that like that was the most valuable thing they could get for me because they were grateful. And that was like seriously the best Coca-Cola I've ever tasted. Mm.
Real sugar cane.
Yeah, like I shared with them, and it was because the fact that this Coke was something that I would just drink all the time. You know, I would drink it halfway and just leave it around and stuff, right? But to them, it was so valuable. And for them to buy it at the store, like, you know, it wasn't a thing that they could do. But they got that for me. And that was like the best Coke I've ever
had. It's like honestly one of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard.
And it affects me because every time I look at a Coke after that, like I'm reminded of it, right?
Right.
So, and like the way we appreciate things, like the same Coca-Cola can taste totally different when you know that it comes from like this incredible place, right? This incredible…
Right. Place of love.
Yeah, place of love.
It's actually their whole like Coca-Cola campaign of like giving a Coke and, you know.
Although the dad there, the dad of the family, he did call me Diablo.
Diablo.
Which means
like the devil.
Yeah.
Whoa. Super shade.
Yeah, he threw mad shade at me. Like he didn't really like me. Because he thought,
taps you on the shoulder. He's like, oh, I'm in Tablo.
No, my name was not Tablo back then.
Oh, it was just…
Daniel. Yeah, but he called me Diablo. But yeah, that was the best Coke I've ever had.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
It's awesome.
I mean, when you're telling me that story, there's really nothing like, you know, disciplining kids, sending them to, you know, broadening their horizons and seeing that there is more.
Oh, no. Don't get the wrong idea. I appreciated this part of the thing, but that entire trip
was terrible.
Well, the fact that I was sent there to… Dude, we had to dig cactuses out of a hill. Okay? And they're tiny cactuses. And I can totally tell that whoever was in charge of this organization was just having us do that just to have us do something. Because there is no way you can get all those cactuses out of there, right? And we would be dropping cactuses on our toes and stuff like that. And it would just get stuck on our toes.
Right.
Scorpions everywhere, for one thing.
Right.
Okay. This place was called San Simon.
Right.
Look it up on Google. San Simon, Mexico. And, you know, apart from when we stayed with these families, and it was actually really… That was the most amazing experience I've ever had. But except for that, everything else was basically torture.
Right.
Like they would like put us in room. Maybe it was a cult, man. I'm not even sure. They put us into these rooms and told us to like think about our wrongdoings for like 2 hours and then come out.
Tell you funny jokes, but you get scolded if you laugh.
Immediately when we got there, they made us shave our heads. Because all of us, they made us Wait, this is sounding more and more like a cult.
This is the Holes, dude. They base the book Holes off of your experience.
Okay, this is weird. Yeah, but I'm not kidding. They made us shave our heads because apparently having bangs or like having semi-long hair was considered by the locals to be, you know, Diablo. Like, to be like wrong. Okay, for us to have long hair. So they and also there was like lice problems. So they told us to shave our heads and that's the first thing we did. Dude, this is sounding really scary. What the hell did I go through now that I think about it?
Right.
And then at the end of it, when we trucked back to LA. So right before we got to LA, you know how like as you're nearing the border, the scenery of Mexico changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's when I knew, like, because I was in San Simon, which was really, really just a rural area, right? Like no buildings, nothing. And then as we're heading to the border, I see these magnificent houses. Like there are some amazing mansions and stuff. Right. And then we stopped by a beach and the beach was beautiful. Like the sand was just like, you know, like that white sand. And like I ran into the ocean because this was like the first time I could like actually not do work and just be in the water. Right. And then with my heel, I would dig in and these oyster things would be there.
Oysters?
Like clams, huge clams. And I smashed them together because someone told me to just smash them and just eat it right off the thing. And I did.
How was it?
It was disgusting. But
sounds warm.
Yeah, it was disgusting. but it was beautiful. And then we got back to LA.
I think there's a… I can see your face as you're describing this.
Yeah, as I'm describing this, because you got to keep in mind, I was like, 15. What, like 13, 14, 15 at the time? It was end of freshman year. So how old am I? I'm like 14. So maybe like these things didn't register to me.
I think you left out a very key part of that story where all of these activities before you did, they were uncuffing you. You were in jail.
No, that didn't happen. But there were like 300 kids there. And in the mornings, they would have us come out. And and then somebody would come up and speak. Oh, dude, what? Okay, I am really scared now. All right, I'm going to call a friend that…
You're going to phone a friend. A lifeline.
Well, I'm going to call a friend that lives in New York right now. But he was there with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember certain details, like
it's like a Jason Bourne episode.
I'm gonna call him to figure this out. Like, what was this thing that we were a part of? Okay, this was like straight off the bat, like freshman year. Okay, in high school. It was like 1994 to 1995.
Please leave your message for.
Ah.
You should leave a message. Leave a message.
Mike, remember the place in Mexico that we were sent to during that summer, like between freshman and sophomore year in high school? I can't remember the name of the place that we were at, and also the name of that program where all those kids were. Like what was the name of that program? Because I'm talking about it on my podcast and as I'm describing it, you know, like how we had to shave our heads and stuff? As I'm describing it, I'm kind of scared that maybe we were sent to like a cult. Okay, so call me back. I know this is a weird message for you to get, but dude, call me back or text me back. Thank you.
Message canceled. Thank you for calling.
What? What do you have to press? What do you have to press after that?
Then you just hang up, bro.
Ah. Oh, God.
Because that was such a genuine, heartfelt message of panic. It's like when you phone like a friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Okay, I'm calling again.
That's fantastic.
Why isn't he picking up? What time is it in New York right now?
It's midnight.
Well, he is vegan.
That is true.
I don't know how that explains that either. I don't know. Maybe he's healthier. So like maybe he's more health conscious, meaning he'll go to sleep earlier.
Yeah, I get it. You know? Yo, you don't have to explain to me. I get it, bro.
Yeah, he quit drinking. He's straight up vegan.
That is true.
Please leave your message for Michael Lee.
Yo, Mike, it's Tablo. Okay, you know that place we went to in Mexico between freshman year and sophomore year of high school? That weird camp? What was the name of the camp and what was the name of the city that we were in? Like that rural area that we were in Mexico? Because I'm describing it on my podcast and the part where we had to shave our heads and stuff like that, I'm kind of worried that maybe we had been sent to a cult. So I know this is weird, but please hit me back. Text me back, okay?
To replay your message, press 1. To continue recording, press 2. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4.
I mean, does this have to be so complicated?
You just hang up. Hang up.
Okay.
Message marked urgent.
Whoa.
To replay your message, press 1. To continue recording, press 2. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
I would just hang up.
For delivery options, press 4.
I just...
To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Okay, well, you could have said that first.
Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you.
What kind of voicemail does he have set up? My goodness, he must.
Is that like a house?
Yeah, is that a?
I don't know. It's his phone line.
T-Mobile.
Like just his cell phone.
Sidekick.
Okay. Well, anyways, I can't. So, I will get the exact name of the place and the name of this program that we were a part of. I know it was Christian related, okay, because there was a pastor in charge and that pastor hated me and he accused me of all these different things. And like, dude, I am seriously like digging into, like, this is like becoming a true crime, like kind of, this is weird. Now that I've talked at length about this Mexico situation, do not. Doesn't this shit sound like a cult?
Not really. Not to me.
They had us shave our heads, locked us in rooms for like 6-hour prayer sessions where we couldn't eat, we couldn't come out, and it was just completely dark in a tiny fucking bunker with a ceiling that was like this low.
Was it all boys or girls?
There were girls there too. And
you said they're all like troubled kids though, right?
That's what they told us. And there were like 200, 300 kids. Every morning they would have us gather in like a courtyard area, like in the camp, like main center area. And I don't know, now I'm having flashbacks and it seems pretty cultish to me.
Yeah, yeah, it does sound pretty cultish.
Okay, well, anyways. Whoa. Well, I don't know what that shit was that I was a part of, but I've been in some, maybe that's why I ended up the person I am. Because these are like my formative years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And seeing your friend like plop to the ground during push-ups, during mandatory push-ups.
Right.
Because they had us doing push-ups for some reason. And my friend plopped down because a scorpion had gone up his shirt while he was doing push-ups.
Right.
It's not something that you see when you're 14.
Right.
Right. And I guess that probably affected like who I am and maybe like the music that I'm making.
It's great music.
You know, some of the stuff I say in my songs are like pretty out there. And I think maybe that's where all this comes from.
Mm. Could be. You've had a very interesting upbringing and just journey in life.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone though.
Right. Right.
Like, I have friends who grew up in a very like secure, very pleasant way from how I see it. And I'm not like envious of them or anything because everyone has their own journey. I'm not ashamed of mine, though it was pretty damn weird. But I wouldn't recommend it to them.
Right.
Or I wouldn't want you in, because I know for a fact that if this happened to you, Eric, and your younger brother, let's just say you and Eric, If it happened to you, like, I don't think Eric would have been okay. I think you also, like, I think you would have gone crazy. I think you would have done something on the campground to handle this situation. I think you may have gone,
like a rebellion.
I think you may have gone nuts though.
I wouldn't have gone nuts, but I definitely would have tried to break out. I've always resisted upper management, even growing up.
Yeah.
I've had in-school suspensions and such, but…
If you and I went together…
It's game over.
Game over. We would have actually taken over. like, right. We would have resisted to the point where we became, like, the authority.
I would be calling the pastor into my office.
Yes, yes. Yes. We would be calling the pastor and all those people, like, out into the field at 7 in the morning.
The first thing that
for
I
the
would
morning
do,
exercise.
First thing I would change is I would say this soil you guys are working with, this dirt that we're digging, it's not going to work for the amount of tomatoes and oranges and lemon trees we're going to plant.
That is true. And also I would somehow domesticate the scorpions. I would train the scorpions. I would put little like Ant-Man devices on them and I would use the scorpion against them.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
I don't know. It's, I think…
How did we get here? What were we talking about today?
Bunkers.
Oh, the apocalypse situation.
Yeah. Again, I don't do well with dust. I touched on that with Mars and all that. I wouldn't do well in this environment for those reasons. I would… First change I would do, if I was governor of this camp, bring a lot of soil. Bring a bunch of sods of grass and let's make this place beautiful, baby.
Did you notice though? That, you know, I haven't really talked about this thing, like, ever, really, to anyone. But I have told that Coca-Cola story many times.
Because that was, like, a beautiful moment for you.
Isn't that amazing that this, that the other parts of this are, like, unexplainable and possibly very cultish and scary. But I have only, I have blocked it out. And I only remember that beautiful lesson I learned.
Right.
And now, as I was describing the other parts of the situation, I realize how kind of horrific it may have been.
Because you're also a kid, you know, you don't really make sense of all of that. If
that's
Tableau
weird.
Right now of 2019 went back in time, you know, you would probably raise hell and be drop kicking upper management and freeing these kids, herding them out like a bunch of sheep into Noah's Ark.
There was a toilet. And there was a giant pig under the toilet.
Giant pig?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
In the house that I was staying at. They had an outdoor, you know, like a bathroom kind of setup made of wood. And it was just planks and like a makeshift wooden toilet kind of thing with basically a hole. And there was a giant pig that was underneath. And every time I would go to the bathroom, I would be hearing the pig grunting and just out. I am not kidding.
Like, yeah, no, I don't think this is things that you could just make up off the top of your head.
Yeah, these are, you know, actual things that happened.
This is real talk.
But I don't think I've actually thought about it for a very, very long time. But that Coca-Cola story is a takeaway. And also that family took me to this… family gathering, like other families gathered and had a party. And it was like, it was just like those movies. Like it was like Coco because they were like, there was a lot of music and it was very festive. And I was, you know, I was struck by the fact that everyone there was like dealing with incredible poverty.
Right.
But extremely grateful, like constantly grateful. And, the way they were enjoying music and each other's company was something that like even my family in Korea didn't have. And we were doing much better than like, you know.
Financially.
Yeah. So much better than anybody there.
Right.
And I think it that's like when it dawned upon me. Like I was like, you know, being grateful is probably like the greatest skill you can have.
Gratitude.
Yeah. If you are able to be grateful, that's like… That's the way to stretch a dollar, if you think about it.
Right.
Right? You don't need that much money if you have like extreme gratitude skills.
Yeah. That's, I think that is the true key to happiness, because if you're not thankful for what the situation is, if you're not able to compare that you have a good situation, someone always has it worse, and the skills that you have, I mean, the fact that we're walking around right now, it's like, it's a blessing, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I didn't know you're going to go spin off to like this whole cult thing, but think about
I didn't either.
Right.
I didn't.
And you were really.
I was just telling you like what happened.
And watching you put those pieces together, because clearly you haven't really thought about this since then.
Yeah.
You have this beautiful memory of like the Coca-Cola and the kindness and that amazing family. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's like if it wasn't a cult, the values of the camp of bringing in like troubled kids and having them live in rougher conditions, I think that somewhat works.
Yeah. Like it might not have been a cult. Although everything I've described makes it sound like a cult.
Right.
It might not have been a cult. I don't know. Well, I didn't get indoctrinated, so it's okay. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Right.
Guys, I'm fine.
It all worked out.
But if ever there's another situation where I end up somewhere like that, mm-hmm. I will call you immediately. You got to fly in so we can take that shit over.
Yeah, I'm down. That's easy.
All right, guys. Thank you for being with us today. If ever you find yourself in a situation where you're not sure what the hell's going on,
right,
call us and we'll let you know.
If someone's shaving your head unwillingly, give us a shout. Tweet at us.
Yes.
While it's happening. Say what's going on. Send us a selfie, a gift to explain your emotions. Just let us know. And, you know, hopefully Diane will source it and let us know.
DM us. DM us in that critical… In that critical situation.
Live stream.
Yeah, yeah, live tag. Stream, live stream.
Tag at the Tableau Podcast.
IG live.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.